Well, the war broke out on the 3rd of September 1939, 3 days before her 21st birthday, and my mother thought maybe the best way to go about it was to help by joining the Voluntary Aid Department. So she joined the Australian Women's Flying Club with her hero, Nancy Bird, and during the weekends they did first aid, home nursing. She had to do 60 hours of voluntary work in a hospital to qualify. So she worked in the Ryde Hospital and the Sydney Hospital. And then in October 1941, she was actually called up for the 113th Military Hospital at Concord. So she joined the army then as a voluntary nursing aide.
And how is that different from the Australian Army Nursing Service?
I guess the others were more specialised, probably the difference between a doctor and a nurse, just a step lower. She could give injections, she could do dressings, all that sort of thing, but she probably couldn't make some of the more executive decisions and do some of the more complicated work.
Where did she serve?
Well, in December 1941, she was due to go to the Far East, but Japan came in the war, and shortly after that, the Dutch government lent Australia and New Zealand the Aronia as a hospital ship. So she served on that, and they did trips across to South Africa, to Durban, then up to Aden, then up to Suez, to collect patients from the Middle East, from Palestine, El Alamein, all that sort of area. Then they would bring them back to either Sydney or New Zealand. But, of course, coming across the Roaring Forties was pretty ghastly. And not only were they coping with sick patients, they were also coping with a lot of sick staff as well. They were seasick. The hospital ships actually travelled alone. It was too dangerous to travel in convoy. They were a sitting duck if they were in a convoy. The Red Cross was not always respected, I think. So she did several trips to the Middle East, and then after that she spent quite a bit of time in Bathurst Camp in New South Wales, and the conditions there were pretty ghastly. They were under canvas with dirt floors, and of course it was often freezing. There was a lot of patients there from New Guinea, the islands, the Middle East, quite a bit of malaria, even troop accidents, you know, where they'd been in training or whatever, all that sort of work.
And so what was the relationship like between the nurses and their patients?
Obviously, a lot of the patients were very sick, but I think it was a lot of comforting the patients, looking after their needs, of course. But I can remember my mother saying, a matron had said to her once, look, the boy over there in the corner is dying. Just go and sit next to him and hold his hand and talk to him as if you were his sister or something, just comfort him. So there was a lot of that sort of thing. She also talked about one Christmas day when all the staff got dressed up in their uniforms and holding candles, they walked around the ship singing carols, and she said so many of the patients were just sort of caught up in the emotion and they were just crying. But it was lovely because it sort of reminded them of home and what Christmas is all about. So I guess they tried to make the patients' lives as normal as possible and keep them comfortable. Anzac Day was very, very important to both my mother and my father because they'd met at a training camp on the Atherton Tablelands and got married shortly after. So both of them were very involved in the war. I would say Anzac Day was certainly as important in our family as Christmas Day. It was always a taken that the day would be spent reliving memories, catching up with old comrades and everything. It gave us a nice perspective on the whole day, what it meant to the older generation.
And how long was she in the Voluntary Aid Department?
From December 1941 was when she actually joined up, and then she had to resign when she got married in January 1945. I think she stayed on for a little while, but then she had to resign. My father was actually transferred to Borneo after they got married, and she was most upset that she couldn't do more overseas service, but that was just the way it was in those days. When they were coming back from overseas into Sydney Harbour, it had been really rough. They'd struck a rough patch. Anyway, it turns out the Japanese submarines had come in under their boat. It was the bombing of Sydney Harbour. The Japanese mini-submarines had actually come in under Mum's ship.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that. Did she know at the time?
No, not till the next morning. They found out later because they were only there for a little while, I guess. I think it was all very secretive where they were travelling and how long they were staying and so on. Just you didn't give time to become a target for anything, I guess.
So what did she do after she resigned?
She started a family. Oh, first she lived with part of her family in Sydney, and then they came down and lived in Hobart with my father's family, because after the war there weren't a lot of houses. It was very hard to get accommodation. And then eventually, well, they settled in Hobart, which is where my father came from, and he had a job lined up and life went on. They ended up having four children and, I said, lived happily ever after. Oh, and another point was after Mum actually, they came back from Africa one trip and England took over the Aronia. They wanted that and they made more trips back to the Middle East. But most of the nursing staff were transferred onto the Centaur, and the next trip the Centaur was sunk off the coast of Brisbane. So Mum was lucky she didn't actually go on that trip. She came back to Australia there, and that was when she was working at Bathurst Camp. So I guess she was lucky to be here. I think the war made a very big impact on Mum. Well, the war, but probably more so the service that she gave there, because she always said if she was in a situation of adversity, she'd say, well, I've been through the war. I've coped with all sorts of things there. I've lived in a tent. I've coped in freezing conditions. I can cope with anything. And she just got on with life. So it actually made her a lot stronger. It was very good from that point of view. And she loved her time there. She got to travel overseas that she wouldn't have done otherwise. It was just a pity about the reason for her going overseas. She made a lot of good friends there, and they stuck together. Even though she came down to Hobart, she would catch up with her friends whenever she could.